Live from around the world, it's time for Peter Greenberg Worldwide with America's number one frontline travel news journalist. Around the world, the trip begins with Ken. Roam if you want to, roam around the world. Get on the phone now and call 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. And now, the man who travels over 400,000 miles each year, the travel detective, Peter Greenberg.
And welcome aboard another edition of Peter Greenberg Worldwide. I hope you're having a wonderful pre-Christmas weekend, wherever you happen to be. I always say I live on airplanes. Boy, but the last 10 days, nothing but airplanes. Listen to this. First in France, then Los Angeles, then Cairo, then Luxor. How about this for a connection? Then New York, then Roatan in Honduras, Cozumel, and where we are right now. Get out your maps if you're still awake on this one. 25 degrees, 46 minutes north, 80 degrees, 11 minutes west. We are coming to you from Miami and down here for the opening of the new JW Marriott Marquis, brand new hotel here in Miami. No, not in South Beach. We'll explain that later. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill, boys and girls. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. And as you know, I travel to a different location every weekend, but you can get a sneak peek into next week's radio show location if you sign up for my free newsletter. Believe it or not, we update it every single day. It's delivered straight to your mailbox and totally free. We are not transactional. We are informational. And if you really want to get behind the scenes and get instant access to all of our previous radio shows, after all, we archive everything, you can sign up to be an insider. Less than $5 a month, and you know what? Makes a great holiday gift. That's my shameless self-promotional plug for the week. So check out petergreenberg.com for all the details. But remember, travel is news. We treat it as news, and you should too. Speaking of news, one of our regulars on this show, a good friend of mine, and when I was at NBC, my colleague there, but he'll always be my colleague, our good friend who travels probably more than I do, our good pal Kerry Sanders from NBC. Hey, Kerry.
Hello, Peter. How are you?
Okay. Where have you been lately? Have you actually been home?
Remarkably, I have been in South Florida, which has been just wonderful, and traveling a little bit around the state of Florida, but not really that far, because the cold temperatures down here became big news, especially tourists, because a lot of vacations were upset and some ruined because folks came to Florida figuring they were coming down with a T-shirt and shorts and found temperatures at 32 degrees and lower and had to scramble.
Well, you know, my friends in Los Angeles, when the thermometer drops below 60, they all contract pneumonia because they're all wimps. Are you a wimp, too?
You know, I'm originally from Boston. I'm used to this. I still have some of my ski clothes because I love to head to Colorado and Utah at least once a year. So I am prepared, and I do understand the concept of layering.
Well, in all seriousness, I should tell our audience that, number one, Heathrow is closed today, so is Gatwick in London. When I was over in Europe last week, they closed Paris, they closed Berlin, they closed Frankfurt. I was trying to get to Cairo, and the only way I could get there is through Amsterdam, and I just lucked out because just as I was leaving Amsterdam, it started snowing there, too. It's been a very weird year.
It's been a weird year, and the extremes seem to be more prominent. I know that scientifically is not true, but it feels that way.
Yeah, so I got to ask the question because we're a week before Christmas. Where are you going for Christmas?
My goal is to remain home. That's what I would like to do, but you know the profession I am in as a reporter. So my hope is truthfully every year and every day for peace on earth. But if there's peace on earth, at least on Christmas Day, I won't be heading somewhere to report on it.
Well, listen, knowing my past history and yours, we all go back to Christmas of 2004. We had the tsunami. We always have. Last year, of course, my Christmas was disrupted by the underwear bomber on that flight going to Detroit. So, and of course, if you're reading the papers, as we do, The intelligence chatter out there is that the Al-Qaeda group is thinking about doing some more disruptions over the holiday period as well.
And, you know, it's interesting because when we talk to federal officials, they say that, you know, as you travel, and we're all worried about our own bags and, you know, whether our shoes are on or off and getting through the metal detectors and everything else, they encourage passengers to keep their eyes open. And if they see something that doesn't look right, to speak up. And I think that sort of we've seen borne out here, and you know best, a lot of the discoveries and attempts that have been thwarted has been a result of just people, average, untrained, not carrying a badge or a gun, just the average person has said something or done something that's resulted in safety.
Well, not only that, the person, you know, if it's a hot August afternoon and somebody shows up with four overcoats, a muffler, and galoshes, you might want to take another look at them. Although, if you showed up in Miami with four overcoats and galoshes right now, it's because you're probably freezing.
Yes, you know, you got to take into account what everybody else is wearing, too. It was interesting because I spent some time at Universal Studios in Orlando at the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, as well as over at SeaWorld in these freezing temperatures. And you really did see the extremes. You saw people with mittens and gloves and hats and scarves, and then folks who came on vacation, like a family that I met from Copenhagen, just wearing a T-shirt and a light sweater because it was only 2 degrees colder in Copenhagen than it was in Orlando. And so they were like, well, we're pretty much prepared. But I think the real lesson of the cold weather in Florida, even if it's anomalous, I mean, we don't have it like that every year, although we did last year, it's when you go on vacation to just throw one extra sort of surprise piece of clothing into your luggage, because if you think it's all going to be a, you know, swim trunks and a T-shirt, and then you get down to a place where the weather turns crazy, you don't want to waste your time going to the mall looking for clothes, especially in Florida, where when you go to the mall and you look for a hat and gloves, they're probably not there because you don't need a hat and gloves in Florida, usually.
Well, listen, some people would say you don't even need a new hotel in Florida, but you've got another one here in Miami, the JW Marriott Marquis, right down in the Metropolitan Miami Development, another 313-room brand-new hotel. I mean, interesting timing to open a hotel, right?
Interesting economy to open a hotel, and interesting to see what's going on in Miami. There is an area of Miami called Wynwood, which, quite frankly, 20 years ago, was just known for its riots. It was one very depressed, difficult place to go to. And now, 20 years later, Tony Goldman, sort of leading the charge with $20-plus million, is renovating a bunch of warehouses into a really happening hip area. And he's doing this with artists. Artists have come in, and they're painting the buildings, and they're turning these boxes into lovely art galleries, restaurants, interesting places to go. And in the process, he says it's a foreshadow of what's to come across the country, because he believes...
Carrie, I gotta hold you for 1 second here. We got some music going there. That means we're going to a commercial. Stay with me. Carrie Sanders from NBC News. More with Carrie Greenberg in freezing Miami when we come back.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
MedJet Assist. If you're injured or hospitalized while traveling, MedJet Assist will arrange medical transportation directly to the hospital of your choice. Travel safely and be smart. Get MedJet Assist. Take trips, not chances.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
It's 18 minutes after the hour. Peter Greenberg coming to you from Miami, Florida. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-887-3837. 88 Peter. If you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem so we can solve it right here on the air. And, of course, as always, I encourage you to go to our website with the most imaginative name in the business, petergreenberg.com, where we have a comprehensive list of all the aid and relief organizations, especially at this time of the year. They need your help more than ever. These are the guys doing the essential hard work in places like Haiti and western China and Chile, and of course in the Gulf. The work continues, and especially in Haiti, as our guest Kerry Sanders knows all too well. We've been talking to Kerry about rebuilding efforts here in Miami, and you were talking about that one district, Kerry. Are you there? Apparently, Kerry, we've lost him. All right, we'll get back to Kerry in a second, but what Kerry was talking about was one area in Miami which was really run down, where they're now rebuilding it with all their artists, and of course, where we are talking about it, the JW Marriott in Miami, which for a while was a forgotten area, and now you've got a lot of development there, which is really, really cool, and walking distance to all sorts of places that you never would have walked to before. A 313-room hotel, and a state-of-the-art hotel. We'll talk a little bit about that later. Speaking of hotels, of course, Christmas stories are always talking about whether or not there's room at the inn. Of course, the the famous Joseph in the Manger story. Well, here's one for you. What happens when the hotel tells you the you've got a booked room and there's nobody home? Oh, Kerry, are you back?
I am. Sorry.
Oh, good. Well, you know what? Stay with me, Kerry, because we're talking about, you know, the hotel development that you were talking about in those areas that Tony Goldman was doing, and of course down in the Miami area, in the downtown area, a couple of years ago. What? I would not have chosen to stay in the downtown Miami area as a hotel, would you?
No, I would have. In fact, any friend who would ask me about staying there, I would just give them a really strange look, like, of course not, because it just not only was dangerous, it was seedy. And what Tony Goldman is doing in Wynwood, it's a very non-traditional approach by bringing in artists and saying, let's take what we have here and try to transform it. Because they're warehouses. And the transformation that's taking place there is almost magical because it doesn't fit the normal building blocks of development. In Florida, developers come in with bulldozers, they level a place, and then they have a model, and they build off that model what they think everybody wants. And here it's kind of counterintuitive, but it looks like it's working. And I spent some time there in the last week working, you know, kind of like investigating because I'm doing a report on it for NBC, and I'm just fascinated because what he's doing now looks like it's going to be on the drawing boards in Des Moines, in Buffalo, Kansas City. There's a lot of places that are saying, hey, we have this abandoned warehouse space too because jobs are moving overseas, and as jobs move overseas, these warehouses are empty, and we don't know what to do with them.
Exactly, and where I'm staying at the JW Marriott, I mean, it's 41 stories. It's one of those mixed-use developments where they've got office buildings and residential. They even have a hotel within the hotel called the Beaux Arts, which is a 44-room, very special sort of luxury hotel on the 39th floor. So it's kind of fun. I mean, it's actually making it fun to come back to downtown Miami.
Well, it's interesting because you know better than anybody. The hotel is not the room. It's the destination in many cases of, you know, where you're going and where you're going to spend a fair amount of your time. So if you're situated in an interesting area where you don't necessarily have to have a car, if you don't have to rent it, you know, $40, $50 a day, and you can just get to the hotel and then hop a cab for $5 here or walk, it makes for a much more, I think, enjoyable vacation because we spend enough of our lives in cars as it is. Why do we need to go on vacation and get in a car?
You got it. Well, you know, what I was talking about a couple of seconds ago is that, you know, what happens when you've got a confirmed hotel reservation? You know, you're saying, okay, Mr. Greenberg, your room is booked, until you get to the hotel and they say, uh-uh, no, it ain't, because there's somebody here who can trump you. Well, my next guest, another regular on the show, so stay on the line, Kerry. I want you to say hi to Joe Sharkey from the New York Times, who did a great story this week in the New York Times about what happened when the King of Saudi Arabia decided to show up at the Waldorf. Hey, Joe.
Hey, how you doing, Peter?
All right, so how many rooms are we talking about that people got bumped?
Don't know. I know of at least, people who were bumped were told that at least 100 people were sent to the Hilton from the Waldorf. You know, what happened was King Abdullah, who's, 86 years old, and had arrived in New York for back surgery. And, you know, these guys arrive like the triumphal procession from Aida. You know, they came in three 747s, and the New York Post had a terrific story about a 40-car caravan from the airport. And he went to the hospital. But then, you know, there was 9 or 10 princes, and they all have 30 or 40 entourage. So they took they basically commandeered the Waldorf, and people who had reservations for Thanksgiving week at the Waldorf in some cases showed up and were told, we can't accommodate you. We'll be happy to take you over to the Hilton, or in a couple of cases, I think they even walked them over to the Marriott on Times Square. So, you know, it kind of really ruined the holiday for a bunch of people. And the question is, and, you know, I don't know the answer to this, because I think it depends on what state you're in. But what right do you actually have when you have a confirmed hotel reservation to lay claim to that if, you know, King Abdullah and, you know, the rest of the cast of Aida shows up?
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting because it's called walking the guest. And
yeah.
When they walk the guest, under their own code of conduct, they think they've completed their contract.
Well, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. And, of course, people should know that the Waldorf Astoria is owned by the Hilton, which
that's
is
right.
Why they walked people to the Hilton.
Yeah. And Hilton was Hilton did not want to discuss this. So, you know, they basically I got the impression they shrugged it off. To me, it was a problem. I think, you know, the Waldorf is an iconic brand, and they made an awful lot of very loyal guests very, very unhappy.
Well, I will tell you this, Joe, and Carrie, listen up, because I use this all the time, and I know that Carrie will use this. I absolutely am convinced that Carrie will use this. You ready, guys?
Yeah.
Here it is. You get to a hotel, and they say, I'm sorry, Mr. Greenberg, or I'm sorry, Mr. Sanders, or I'm sorry, Mr. Sharkey, the rooms are booked. We have no room for you. What you basically say to them is, let me ask you a question. If the President of the United States were checking in right now, would you have a room for him? And they'd say, well, yeah. And they'd say, great, well, I just called the White House. He's not coming, so I'll take his room.
He ain't coming, right. Well, you know what you can do? You can sleep in the lobby, because they would really like that.
Wow. Well, you know, there was a time not too long ago, I remember this in New York, where the Waldorf Astoria was actually considered a welfare hotel by the city of New York, and they were camping people in there, you know, in the lobby. It was wild. The Waldorf Astoria had a ridiculous transformation there for a while.
Well, you know, the Waldorf is actually, as you know, the Waldorf is known as a hotel that is very, very secure. It's one of the reasons that foreign dignitaries use it, presidents use it. It has a bunch of exits and entrances. Not all of them are at street level. It's very easy to come and go without using the lobby. So, I mean, the Waldorf does offer security, but does it offer customer service to people with reservations is the question I was asking.
Well, obviously they'll be having your name out ready for you at the concierge desk very soon.
I guess not. I guess I won't be able to get my reservation.
Now, Joe, where are you going to be traveling for the holidays?
I'm staying in Tucson. I'm not going anywhere.
See, the smart people are not going anywhere. I keep telling everybody, the best time to travel is when everybody else is not traveling, and the best time not to travel is when all the crazy people are, which means the best time to travel is January 4th, ladies and gentlemen. It's called the Dead Week.
There you go.
You can go bowling on planes during that week, anywhere you want to go. And if you think I'm kidding, the airfare between New York and Los Angeles right now, if you wanted to go over Christmas week or New Year's, is about $800 round trip. As of January 4th, it drops to $219.
Yeah.
That is a substantial drop.
You're absolutely right. Yeah.
Yeah, and then, of course, you don't have to do the layered look like Carrie's wearing right now in Miami.
Uh-huh. Yep. By the way, my wife was on a business trip in New York this past week. And this surprised me. She stayed at the Hilton Garden Inn, which is a nice new hotel on Times Square.
Yeah.
The Hampton Hampton Inn, I'm sorry.
Right, that's owned by Hilton, by the way.
Yeah, and $135 a night.
In New York?
In New York on the holiday season. I mean, imagine.
Wow.
And she loved it. You know, she thinks that's a terrific hotel. So, I mean, there are...
Well, yeah, but you know what? Wait a minute. You know how she did that, Joe?
How?
She told them she was the princess of Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, well, there you go.
All right. Joe Sharkey, have a wonderful holiday from the New York Times, and of course our pal Carrie Sanders, both of whom doing the absolutely remarkable thing, not traveling during the holidays. Amazing, guys. Keep a diary. No one's going to believe it. All right, when we come back, we're going to shift gears and come right back here to Miami. Do a little local hero, as in the Miami Heat. You remember LeBron James? Yeah, he lives here now. We'll be back with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide from Miami when we come back right after this.
To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Avis. Avis, we try harder.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
33 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you from Miami, Florida. In fact, we're hanging at the new hotel that just opened up, the JW Marriott Marquis in downtown Miami, a place I used to forget about all the time, and now it's started to come back. It's a very, very cool place. And if you're coming to Miami, here's the one thing you have to understand. There's one team here, and it ain't the Dolphins, that you cannot avoid, because it is so much a part of the community anywhere you go. And, I mean, it's just bigger than ever for reasons I think some of you basketball fans might appreciate. Of course, they're known as the Miami Heat. And joining me now, the executive vice president for that team, Stephen Weber. Hey, Stephen.
Good morning.
How are you, man?
I'm great. Welcome to Miami.
11 in a row now?
11 in a row.
So you guys are on a streak? You're on a run?
We're doing pretty well.
Yeah. But you can't show your face in Cleveland, can you?
Well, there are a lot of markets that wish LeBron had chosen them instead of Miami.
But you got them.
We did.
And you had a pretty shaky start at the beginning this year, but you're starting to come back.
Yeah, they. I think it's taken them a little bit of time to gel and get used to playing with each other outside of their Olympic experience, because Dwayne and Chris and LeBron are all outstanding athletes, and it's just taking some time, and we had some injuries early that prevented them from really practicing a lot together, but now they seem to be gelling nicely, as well as the balance of the team. And Mike Miller comes back soon, and that could add another dimension to us that people haven't seen yet.
You know, when people talk about my travel schedule, I had the guys on from the Dallas Mavericks a couple of years ago, and I just said, how do you do it? Because, first of all, you can't stay in a normal bed in a hotel room because you guys are huge. I mean, you're an Amazonian,
right?
You hit your head just walking in the door. You can't get to the sink because it's 8 feet below where you want to be. I mean, the travel component of a team like the Heat has got to be amazing.
Yeah, it's interesting. And hotels, for example, the JW Marriott here in Miami, they've actually built a full-size basketball court to accommodate teams that stay there, so that the team won't have to come to the arena for the shoot-around that they do normally the morning of the game.
They can do it at the hotel.
They can just stay in the hotel and
get... Talk about room service.
Yeah,
I love that.
And, some of the hotels have done extended beds, larger headroom, but players that, go back in the old days of the NBA, I've been around for 24 years now, and I would ask them, how could you sleep in a bed? And they said, you curl up.
It's fetal position.
Yeah. That's the only way that they could fit. So it's really fascinating how the industry's changed in the last 30 years, especially.
Well, considering where the hotel I'm talking about, the JW Marriott Marquis, is so close to your arena, right? So it's freeway close. You almost walk it.
Yeah, it's about 6 blocks just to the south of the American Airlines Arena.
Right. What would you say? Not that you're on the road a lot with these guys, because you got the best job of all. You're the executive vice president of the team, but you don't have to travel. You get to hang. What I always wanted to do a show where you actually talk to the Major League Baseball players or the basketball players or PGA and say, okay, what cities do you hate the most when you have to go on the road because the services just aren't there for you?
Well, I think the level of service that is afforded to the teams is at the highest level that you see. But the players, for the most part...
I'm talking about road games where you go, oh, no, we got to go to Cincinnati, whatever the city is. Yeah,
The reality is they're not spending a lot of time in those cities, so they tend to fly in. For example, we played in New York last night, so the team would have come in the night before, the afternoon before, and then they have that next day. We play last night. They left right after the game, fly to Washington.
So they flew late last night.
Late last night, get into Washington, play there tonight, and then fly back to Miami after the game. So they have Sunday, and then we have a home game on Monday. So it's really a lot of in and out travel.
Well, speaking of home games, and I said this in the introduction to talk about you, that is, you can't talk about Miami without talking about the Miami Heat in terms of the role that you play in the community.
Right.
I mean, work that out for me. There are a lot of teams that, I think do lip service to the communities in which they're in, but that's not the Miami Heat.
Right. We, as a franchise, we're very fortunate to have really strong ownership. Mickey Arison is the managing partner
of
the franchise.
Never heard of him.
And, you know, he through his father, committed to Miami back in 1987 when the Miami Heat was awarded the franchise. And it's always been a part of the franchise brand is to give back to the community. We have a number of programs that people may not have heard about. We do a program called Heat Academy where we have 300 kids that are in three different elementary schools that every day after school are provided snacks and more teaching, help with their homework, and just kind of helping them along the path to a better future. And then we follow those kids through middle school and high school, and when they are juniors in high school, they have the opportunity to win one of 15 full scholarships to college that Carnival provides as part of their partnership with us for Heat Academy.
Is there a website for that?
Yeah, if you do go to www.heat.com under the Community Relations and Foundation Programs.
Cool. And that's just one of the things that you do. I mean, you guys do a humongous amount of outreach here in Miami.
Right. Yeah. It's, you know, at the end of the day, the team and the franchise, we're part of the community, and we want people to feel that the Miami Heat not only are giving back, but giving back in a meaningful way that people can continue to participate with us, even if they're not able to attend a game.
And, of course, the therapy sessions you're providing for the citizens of Cleveland are also working out real well for you. Don't even say it. Stephen Weber, the Executive Vice President for the Miami Heat. The website again, very quickly?
Heat.com.
Find out about that outreach program. Thanks, Stephen. I appreciate it.
Pleasure.
That. Back with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide from Miami right after this.
Call now to talk to Peter Greenberg at 1-888-887-3837 or email him at peter@petergreenberg.com. The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. Now back to Peter Greenberg Worldwide.
43 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here, coming to you from Miami, Florida, where we've been hanging out at the new JW Marriott Marquis as it opens up right there in downtown Miami. My next guest and I go back a ways, and in fact, if truth be told, when I came to Miami this time, I didn't fly in, I sailed in. When I told you at the beginning of the show, I was going from Cairo and Luxor to Roatan in Honduras. That is one of the world's most ridiculous flight connections. And I got to Roatan, that's when I jumped on the new Norwegian cruise lines, Epic, the largest ship they've ever built, and sailed it through Cozumel and into Miami. And the CEO of NCL, his name is Kevin Sheehan. He joins me right now. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Peter, how you doing? I'm sitting here in my shorts in South Beach with my Brooks Brothers blue blazer so that you feel like I'm fulfilling my responsibility.
Now, you see, now you forced me to explain that. You see, you forced me to explain that on the air. When I did an interview with Kevin, when we did our special on CNBC 2 years ago on the cruise industry, we both showed up wearing the exact same Brooks Brothers blue blazer and realized that was our get-out-of-jail-free jacket that we carry with us at all times just in case, right?
That's correct.
But speaking of wearing clothes, Kevin, you just did something which on one of the most popular shows on CBS. I think it's going to air at least the first or second week of January. You did Undercover Boss.
I did, and as you know, I'm kind of a rookie in the industry, coming up actually on 3 years. So what a great opportunity to get behind the scenes and see what it's like being a crew member. I know you know from prior conversations that I have a lot of admiration for our crew. They work very hard, but seeing it from that perspective, I have to tell you, I failed at every task I tried.
You failed at every single task? Okay, wait a minute. What were you the worst at?
I think the waiter was I was the worst, and well, first of all, I stood out a little bit, you know, being 6'1", and you know, I think beyond the normal age of the waiters, and probably a lot higher than many of the Filipinos and Indonesians, and you know what we typically have in the dining rooms. But it is on the Epic, as a matter of fact, that you just came off in the Manhattan room, when I was serving some people in there, and it first to walk out of the dining room and then down the escalator that we have behind the scenes and into the galley. And the galley is essentially the size of a football field. And trying to find the right stuff and being quick and efficient. And, oh, my goodness, after about a half hour, I was exhausted. And I did everything wrong. It was hysterical. I had one experience where I was supposed to get the guests asked for some key lime pie, and I went out, down the escalator, into the galley, walked all the way back, and got these two pieces of pie that had these little limes on top, and worked my way back, and just about to put them on the table, and my head waiter said, "Hey, that's cheesecake." But that was the tip of the iceberg. Every single thing was hard, and I
were you a deckhand too? Did you have to handle the ropes?
I did, and there's a historical story there that I'm probably not supposed to give too much away on, but it was a guy who turns out to be an All-American hero, and you'll hear the story after 9/11 and what he did. And he was on the ship, on the Pride of America. What a perfect ship for him to be on with that topic. But he was beating me up because I was supposed to be swabbing the decks, so to speak, and we were trying to take some rust off, and he made fun of the fact that I said I was from Jersey, and he equated me to being from a neighboring state that we always take shots at.
Exactly. But nobody was injured during your stint in any of these jobs. Is that correct?
They were lucky. Yeah, we came out unscathed, but it was exhausting, and it was almost two weeks. I did a stint on the Epic in a variety of positions, and then I went out to Hawaii where we have that inter-island cruise ship, the Pride of America, and I did a whole bunch of tasks there as well.
Was there any job you were even mildly good at? You're hesitating. I know we have a problem.
Yeah, I really could. Actually, the lady, when I was cleaning the bathrooms and back, she thought I vacuumed well. I wasn't that good at cleaning the toilets, and I kept using the wrong rags. And then, you know, they don't have form fitted sheets in the cabins because they break very easily. So you have to kind of have this knack of twisting the sheets under when you change them, and so it really is a lot of work. They clean 18 cabins a day, and it's they have to have it down to a real precision because.
All right, so the deal is this is going to air in January on CBS, Undercover Boss. Watch Kevin Sheehan learn how to make a bed. Unbelievable, ladies and gentlemen. All right, Kevin, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it. Go back to South Beach and relax and take the blazer off now. When we come back, we're going to check out the Ask the Locals part right here in Miami.
Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. Now back to Peter Greenberg Worldwide.
It's 52 minutes after the hour. Peter Greenberg coming to you from Miami, where we've been hanging out at the JW Marriott Marquis, brand new hotel in downtown Miami. Hard to believe, but there's something to talk about in downtown Miami for a change. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem so we can solve it right here on the air. It's time for our Ask the Local segment. Who better to talk to about Miami than the Miami correspondent for travel and leisure? He's also a contributor to Town and Country, Ocean Drive, the Miami Herald, and more. He's all things Miami. He's Tom Austin. Hey, Tom.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing fine. So, you know me. If it's in the brochure, I don't want to know it. We were talking earlier about the new hotel, the JW Marriott Marquis, 41 stories, 313 rooms. Nice addition to Miami in terms of downtown Miami. And that area is kind of coming back, isn't it?
It's a little bit, yeah. It seems to be. There's a lot of empty condos down there, but I think there's kind of a migration downtown.
You know, I'm a big fan that if there's a place that nobody's going, that's when you want to buy.
That would be the prevailing theory. I think the heat's kind of helping that whole scene down there as well, and there's a little kind of action going on.
I know. I mean, the heat. We were just talking to Steve Weber from the Heat. I mean, It is so much a part of the community here.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's hard to miss at the stadium and lights and traffic and all that. And there seems to be kind of a movement afoot to put some great restaurants down there. I just talked to Daniel Blue the other day for Travel and Leisure, and
yeah, he's got his new restaurant right in the hotel.
Yeah, no, he's back in. He actually was telling me that he did some work across the street at the Intercontinental back in the 80s and over at the Biltmore as well. So he's back in Miami, finally.
You know, back in the 80s, the hotel that I always stayed at was the Intercontinental because that was the place.
Yeah, that was kind of the he was talking about it as the Marble Palace, which it still is.
Yep.
Now we get kind of expensive restaurants and hotels downtown with Azuma and all that, and very elaborate. It kind of reminds me a little bit of Hong Kong meets Las Vegas when you're downtown Miami.
All right, but now let's talk about some stuff that you love. Of course, it's not very far outside of Miami. We're talking the Everglades.
Yeah, no, it's still wild, still crazy. I mean, it's always been threatened, of course, but it's a place where you can kind of get real Florida. That was my last article for Travel and Leisure, and the next piece I'm doing is actually on Miami, which I've done about two or three of those already.
Sure, but you know, when we go out to the Everglades, I'm always looking for things that, again, I said, if it's in the brochure, I don't want to know about it, and one of them is Joanie's.
Joanie's is a terrific place. You get the Indian fry bread, frog legs, and then you can go back. If you take the Loop Road right off the main trail there, that's when it gets really wild. You get the people lived out there, more or less homesteading. They've been there for years and kind of grandfathered in, and it's a
right. Everything short of like running an illegal whiskey still.
Yeah, there's one guy that takes sort of cheesecake photographs way out there in the Everglades. It's crazy. Sells spark plugs and beer and takes cheesecake photographs.
My kind of guy.
Yeah,
kind of.
It's an interesting experience. So, no, the Everglades still is pretty wild. It's
well, you know, people don't realize this. I mean, they just think it's like this crazy place in Florida that you're going to be eaten by an alligator. The bottom line is it's also a UNESCO World Heritage Site.
Yeah. No, it's a terrifically beautiful place. I mean, you can go off the Loop Road, especially, and there's little scenes there that are just, I mean, it's like out of a movie. It's still so perfect, and you would have no idea that you're, you know, an hour or so from Miami.
You know, it's funny. When I remember when I was like 21 years old, I met a woman who lived in Miami. I said, "And where do you live?" She goes, "Oh, I live on Tamiami."
Uh-huh.
And I'm going, "Oh, okay, I guess I could find that." Later on, I found out it's 275 miles. it's the road between Miami and Naples.
Yeah, it's a historic trail that took years and years and years to build, and it's still the old funky Florida. I mean, you can go out there, and I mean, it's thank God it's still there, because otherwise we'd, you know, it'd be a different kind of state. But there's crazy places still. I mean, you can go up to North Everglades, and in my Everglades story, there's this great hotel that the Duchess of Windsor and been involved in years ago with her uncle, and I mean, it's all kinds of quirky, like strange things still here. Well, it's always been a strange state anyway.
Okay, you said it, I didn't, but
yeah,
you know, you have Everglades, but you also have another state park. I'm going to have you pronounce it. It's the Fakahatchee.
Fakahatchee.
Yeah, because you mispronounce that, I'm off the air. You understand that?
Fakahatchee.
I'm even better then. Okay, good.
Yeah.
But where is that?
That's up on the other side of the state, more or less, up the Tamiami Trail, just a little bit north of Naples.
And bottom line is, it's just not many people get there, but when you get there, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, you get the ghost orchids, like in the movie, and walk around. And, I mean, they are really beautiful things. I mean, you can go they have what they call swamp walks. And actually, in my article, there was one woman who had just sort of, I'll take a little stroll in there by herself, and wound up lost for 3 days.
Ah, my kind of story. Yeah. My kind of story. Tom Austin, the Miami correspondent for Travel and Leisure. You read him, all, of course, in that magazine all the time, if not in Town and Country as well. Tom, thanks for joining us. That music means we're out of time for this hour. For those stations sticking around, you know what? We got a whole lot more coming up. For those stations leaving us, guess what? Too bad. But we'll be back with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide from Miami right after these messages.
You've been listening to Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com. Live from around the world, it's time for Peter Greenberg Worldwide with America's number one frontline travel news journalist. Get on the phone now and call 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. And now, the man who travels over 400,000 miles each year, the travel detective, Peter Greenberg.
And welcome aboard another edition of Peter Greenberg Worldwide. I hope you're having a wonderful pre-Christmas week wherever you happen to be. I've been literally living on airplanes and ships, as a matter of fact, for the last 14 days. Started in Los Angeles, ended up in Cairo via France, but couldn't get through France because it was snowing. Ended up in Amsterdam, then into Luxor, and then back through Roatan. How about that for a bad connecting flight in Honduras? And now coming to you from Miami, where we are checking out the new JW Marriott Marquis Hotel that opened up in downtown Miami. But first and foremost, let me tell you what I was doing in Luxor, because it really speaks to what my next guest is going to talk about. And it's a pretty tough story. It's a very important story. And anybody listening to the show who travels, whether you realize it or not, you're probably at least indirectly involved in this story. It's the fastest growing crime in the world. It affects thousands and thousands of people. It is the crime of human trafficking. It can take the form of child prostitution, child labor. It is amazing. And joining me now, who was with me, by the way, in Luxor, we both gave presentations there at this United Nations Forum from the Global Initiative to Fight Trafficking, and was also co-sponsored by the First Lady of Egypt, Suzanne Mubarak, and his name, Ambassador Louis Sidibaka. Ambassador, thanks for joining me.
Good to be here, Peter.
You know, listening to what you had to say over there, and I'm one of those guys who I travel all over the world, I think I know everything. Boy, I learned a lot listening to what you had to say and listening to what all the other presenters had to say about the widespread nature of what we're talking about and worse than that, how fast it's growing.
Well, it's incredible because, you know, we were taught, of course, in school that slavery was something that happened in the past. It was a horrible part of American history, and now it's done and we can move on. And, in fact, just like many of these social ills, if we take our eye away from it, it comes back. And I think that's what we're seeing. And that's a little bit of what you and I were able to look at in Luxor was, what do we do to stop this?
I mean, you direct the State Department's Office to Monitor and Combat Trafficking in Persons, which, you know, you're also monitoring all the global trends out there. And it must be somewhat frustrating for you as well to realize that not only is it the fastest growing crime in the world, how few people are actually prosecuted for it?
That's right. Only about 4,000 people were prosecuted worldwide last year. A lot of those here in the United States. The Justice Department, the FBI, the Immigration Service is out there doing investigations in Florida. Just last week, the sentencing of a Filipino labor broker to almost 8 years in prison shows that it's in our backyards. But it's also over there, and I think that when we are traveling, when we're going to other parts of the world, we need to be aware of the fact that we might be stepping into a situation that's a lot more troubling than what we thought of when we got on the plane in the first place.
And it really touches everything, or it can touch, I should say, everything that we do and experience when we travel, ranging from where we go shopping, where we buy things, what food we eat, what clothes we wear. I mean, most people think that it's just about child prostitution, which, by the way, is huge and terrible, but it's much more than that, isn't it?
It is, and, you know, I think that one of the problems that we all have is that it's easy to say, okay, I'm not going to go patronize child prostitutes, or I'm not going to go to the red light district when I'm on travel. But it could very well be that the handicrafts that we're buying or that even the hotels that we're staying in may have been built by people who are enslaved. And so, you know, we're looking at ways to try to get it so the consumer can not just be thinking about their carbon footprint, for instance, when they're traveling. We can actually think about their slavery footprint as well.
I guess, is there a way to almost come up with a traveler's checklist of questions that we need to ask before we ever, you know, make a hotel reservation or even a plane reservation or go on a tour?
Well, you know, we're just at the beginning of that, and I don't think that we're ready yet to have, as one of my friends has a little card that she carries with her that says what kind of fish, you know, if you see it on the menu, what kind of fish you shouldn't be ordering.
I have that card. I have that card, yes.
And it's very effective. I think that's the kind of tool that, frankly, we don't have yet in the anti-slavery fight. But what we do have is a couple of really exciting things that the business community are doing to start off that type of a process.
Exactly. I mean, but, you know, it's one thing to monitor things and to do the enforcement in this country, but we're dealing with a global crisis. So, you know, one of the reasons why I thought that forum was so important for us to attend last week, and I made my presentation there as well in terms of the travel industry and what media can do, it's to realize how many countries out there have signed on to a sort of code of ethics or the UN protocols, at least as a start.
It is. There's, you know, the United Nations protocol that modernizes the anti-slavery fight is about 10 years old now. This last week is the 10th anniversary. And almost 140 countries have signed. But there are a number of countries that have not yet ratified the protocol. And some of them are big destination countries like India or Singapore or other places like that.
How about China?
China is in the process of ratifying. And I was there about a month ago, and one of the things we were meeting with them about is they're going to have to change their laws to come into compliance with these standards. The Palermo Protocol, just so your listeners get a quick idea of it, basically says that there are three interlocking principles to fight slavery in the modern era. You have to have prevention, protection for the victims, and prosecution of the traffickers. And without all three of those happening at once, we're not going to make a dent in this crime. So as we see these countries ratifying, I think that's a good data point for the traveler. But also, there are some codes of conduct now that, especially in the tourism industry, are starting to pick up a little bit of momentum. And that code of conduct, I'd refer everybody to the web that's at thecode.org. It's, a very positive step forward, because then you know that you're staying in a hotel or a tour company that has pledged itself publicly to fight on this.
You know, one of the things that came up in our conference is that even in countries that have signed on to the protocol, even in countries that have laws that deal with this, there are ways around for the defense attorneys, when somebody does get caught, to get them tried not for a violation of child trafficking, but for immigration, which has a much lesser offense.
And I think that that's, you know, we all have to insist that governments do their job. Obviously, our conversation today is motivating your listeners, but at the same time, it's not just for civil society. It's not just for the non-governmental organizations or the church groups. We have to insist that government does their job. At the end of the day, none of us, as informed of consumers as we want to be, is going to be able to put a trafficker in jail. And so we can insist that our governments do that.
Ambassador, if I could ask you to hold 1 second, I want to come back and finish this with you. That's Ambassador Louis Sidibaka from the United States Department of State. Amazing job that he does, an amazing subject we need to continue to talk about, and we will when we come back from Miami on Peter Greenberg Worldwide. We'll be back with more right after this.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
MedJet Assist. If you're injured or hospitalized while traveling, MedJet Assist will arrange medical transportation directly to the hospital of your choice. Travel safely and be smart. Get MedJet Assist. Take trips, not chances.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
18 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg with you here on this pre-Christmas weekend from Miami, Florida. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837 or 888-887-88-PETER, and answering your questions about travel. We've been talking with, from the U.S. Department of State, Ambassador Louis Sidibaka, who does the yeoman-like work in the office to monitor and combat human trafficking. And Ambassador, when we just left off, we were talking about, you know, what we can do as travelers to be more aware. Some of the hotels that have come on board to basically create and then honor a code of ethical behavior about how they deal with their own suppliers, the people who are their vendors, the people who serve the hotels in so many different forms and functions. And, you know, one of the things that we talked about in Luxor was that only a few major hotel corporations have really stepped up to the plate, Carlson being one of them. They came up with one of the first. Accor came up with another one. There's a wonderful organization out there called ECPAT, which stands for End Child Prostitution and Trafficking, which helped them create that code of what they would and wouldn't do. And one of the things you and I talked about briefly, which someone had to enlighten me about, is that perhaps one of the reasons why so many hotels haven't stepped up to the plate is that such a large source of their in-room revenue comes from pornographic movies, which can be easily linked to trafficking, and therefore they don't want to give that up.
Well, I think that one of the things that we've seen as far as pornography is concerned, of course, is that there's been 20 or 25 years worth of pretty intensive regulation by the U.S. government. So, you know, every one of these movies has to have proof of the age of the people in them and, you know, this and that. And I think that what we're only now starting to see is the same type of attention being paid to the person who's being enslaved, whether it's, you know, out in the landscaping business or the child prostitute on the streets or something like that. And this is something that, you know, I think that the hotel industry really is looking at very seriously. You mentioned Carlson Companies. At the Luxor Forum, Marilyn Carlson Nelson, who many of your folks might be familiar with her as the owner of Radisson Carlson Travel. I think they maybe still own Thomas Cook. You know, she's one of the major players for those of us who are interested in traveling, and she really has spearheaded this notion that, as she says, she wants to be able to assure you as the customer and me as the customer that we're staying in a room that hasn't been tainted by this evil scourge. And I think that we deserve to know that we're staying in a place that cares. There's an interesting project that we're actually working on that I can't remember if you and I had a chance to talk about when we were in Egypt, but which goes even one step further, and it's not just about prevention, but actually is about giving jobs to these people, because at the end of the day, a trafficking victim doesn't just need a handout, they need a job.
You know, Ambassador, you're right. You know, it, to me, it's always about the money. If you can supplant the opportunity of someone to be sold off into slavery by even their own parents, or to be kidnapped, if you will, and not even allowed to be freed because someone else wants to take money off them, if you can come up with an economic incentive and train them to do things where they basically retain their human dignity and can actually feed themselves, we're really well on the way, aren't we?
We are, and that's why we're excited about this new project. It's just a pilot project, but with the International Business Leaders Forum, Intercontinental, Sheraton, and Marriott, and I understand that you're broadcasting from the opening of the JW down in Miami.
Yeah.
Marriott really took the lead on helping us put this together. And in 13 sites around the world where they're already doing job training in their hotels, they're going to be working with local non-governmental organizations to take survivors, people who've escaped, people who've been rescued, and get them into those training programs so that they can serve the public in a very constructive way, whether it's behind the front desk or on the landscaping crew or on the cleaning crew.
Is there a website there, Ambassador, that people can get involved in?
The International Business Leaders Forum, not surprisingly, has the website of IBLF.org. You know, it's a very exciting program, a little one, but we hope that it's going to be something we can scale up.
Great. And one more thing I'd like to note, and in fact, you're actually in this movie as well. They screened a pre-screening for us all in Luxor of one of the most amazing documentaries I've ever seen. I can't stop talking enough about it. And it will have its United States premiere around the 19th or 20th of January in New York. And the name of the movie is called Not My Life. Whatever you thought about human trafficking, or maybe you've never even thought about it, you need to see this movie to get an idea of the scope, the range, and the depth of what's going on out there and what needs to be done. And I hope you agree with that, Ambassador.
I certainly do. You know, almost 150 years ago, on January 1st, the Emancipation Proclamation went into effect here in the United States, and we made a promise to the world that we were going to fight slavery no matter where we found it. And so now we find ourselves generations later, and this has come back. When you watch that movie, you realize the bravery and the resilience of these victims. There's folks in the United States that have now been freed for 10, 15 years. They've opened little businesses. They're employing other people. They're really an inspiration to all of us, and I think that that's the kind of thing that we have to remember is we just need to help them help themselves, and they're going to change the world.
And this is not the kind of movie that I just want to play on college campuses or to preach to the converted. If you ever hear this movie playing anywhere near you, or you can maybe even Netflix it sooner or later down the line, please make sure that not only do you see this movie, but that your kids see this movie. It's well worth it, even in fact, despite the fact that the ambassador's in there. How about that? Right?
You know, like I said, the survivors, the people who've lived through this and the people who are helping them out in the field are more eloquent than any of us can be about what the true nature of fighting slavery in 2010 actually is.
One other thought, Ambassador, if I can, other than the websites we've talked about, how can people be aware when they travel? I talked about one story, I don't know if you heard it when I gave my presentation, about an airline passenger who was checking in for a flight from Philadelphia to West Palm Beach, Florida, and noticed there was a man at the check-in counter with a young child next to him who seemed listless, didn't understand anything, was not aware of his surroundings, was not in possession of his own documents. When the counter agent was checking him in with this boy, the man didn't even know the boy's name. And then when he found out he was going to Palm Beach, the boy said, "Oh, I thought I was going to North Carolina." And nobody from the airline did anything. They actually boarded this kid on the flight, and a passenger on that flight who saw the same kind of behavior alerted the flight crew, and it was the flight crew that radioed ahead. And when that plane landed in West Palm, the man was taken into custody. They were actually able to make an apprehension.
You know, I think that there's a lot of folks that, because they vaguely know about this, they've seen it on a movie like Taken or Slumdog Millionaire or something, and they think that it happens elsewhere or that it's somebody else's responsibility. But you know, if people see something, we hope that they'll say something, and the nearest police officer, of course, is the best place to start. But there's also a 800 number that the Department of Health and Human Services runs, which is 1-888-3737-888. And that is a good opportunity if somebody sees something, and a neighbor who may have a child servant or what looks like a prostitution situation or what have you, perfect opportunity to call in and make a difference. We've rescued people even just in the last month because people have called that phone number. Again, 888-3737-888.
And let's call it what it is. You weren't rescuing people overseas. You were rescuing people in the United States.
We've taken slaves out of buildings within 3 miles of the White House. And to think about that in 2010 is, I think, pretty sobering for all of us.
Wow, amazing. I mean, it's not just in our backyard; it's in our front yard. And again. What the ambassador is talking about is something we need to be aware of every time we get on a plane, whether we're going to West Palm Beach or West Africa. Again, the name of the movie, Not My Life. I can't encourage you enough to see it when it comes out in the United States. It'll be coming out within the next month. And Ambassador Louis Sidibaka, thank you again, sir, for joining us today. Great to see you in Egypt, and I hope to see you in D.C.
Thanks, Peter. It's a pleasure.
Thank you again, sir. And when we come back, we're going to really shift gears here, and be joined by our good friend Dean Sively, who's the president and CEO of Travel Guard Insurance, because they've got a contest out there that is near and dear to me. Later on, they're going to be awarding the prize to the world's most unlucky traveler. I thought I got that award. Maybe not. You know what? My stories pale by comparison. Back with Dean Sively, and maybe your choice, too, for the world's unluckiest traveler. Back from Miami with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide right after this.
To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now. So call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. Once again, here's your host, Peter Greenberg.
It's 33 minutes after the hour, coming to you from Miami, Florida, from we've been hanging out over at the JW Marriott brand new hotel here in downtown Miami, a wonderful addition to an area that a lot of people forgot about over the years. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem so we can solve it right here on the air. You know, part of travel is getting back from your trip, realizing that you didn't have it as badly as the guy sitting next to you. You know, everybody's got a tale of woe. Everybody calls me all the time telling me they had the worst vacation ever. It was the holiday from hell. And now somebody's decided to sort of like institutionalize it. The folks at Travel Guard Insurance have this great contest out there. In fact, you can still vote through the end of this month to determine the world's unluckiest traveler. People you probably never, ever want to travel with, but glad at least you know it wasn't as, you know, it was worse than you had it. Joining me now to talk about that, the president and CEO of Travel Guard. Last time I saw him, he was in the press box with me when the Badgers beat Minnesota when we broadcast that game earlier this year from Madison, Wisconsin. Dean Sibley. Hey, Dean.
Hey, Peter. Thanks for having me.
You got it. So, I mean, how horrific are these stories? I mean, they also have to be funny, too.
Peter, it's a gas. I mean, you know, we have the guys who are on like a medical holiday who have, you know, taken in the beauties, go to the edge of a cliff to kind of take it in, also kind of get comfortable, if I, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Leave himself and tumble down some 30 feet, fortunately hit a ledge, you know, broke his legs and then had to get exported out of there. In fact, blew his whole month of his medical excursion with his own trials and tribulations. We've had honeymoon stories. We've had student travel stories. It's clear that travel is a very emotional and in our fabric and DNA kind of event.
Now, you've had more than 800 submissions for this, right?
Yeah, in fact, it's now up over 900 submissions before we closed off at the end of November. And we've had over 10,000 people register, combination to either submit stories or to actually vote for their favorite story.
I mean, you talk about honeymoon couples. I mean, I used to do a piece for the Today Show years ago called, Holidays from Hell. And we had a couple on their honeymoon on a Carnival ship. And the Carnival ship leaves. It's somewhere outside of Tampa. And on their very first day on their honeymoon, their dream honeymoon, the ship breaks down. And literally, and of course, they had their video camera with them because they were on their honeymoon. They documented the whole thing. You're going to love this story. They documented the whole thing. It was their trip from hell. I mean, people were taking their mattresses out and sleeping on the decks because the air conditioning system didn't work and there was no food and no nothing. And of course, the audience on the Today Show, just like your group is voting, there were a number of finalists. There were five. They voted them the worst holiday from hell ever. And it was like a year later, so we did a split screen on the Today Show. We had all five finalists on the screen, and we announced the winner. And, of course, we were working with Virtuoso, the big travel consortium, so whoever won would get a dream vacation makeover. And you can't make this up, Dean. She wins, okay? It was her honeymoon trip on the cruise ship that wins as the worst trip from hell. And we go to her on the camera, and not even an ounce of excitement on her face. In fact, she's looking depressed. What she neglected to tell us is that because of that trip, she divorced her husband. That was their honeymoon. She divorced her husband, and we gave her a makeover cruise. She hates cruising. we had to learn our lesson on that one. So what do people win? I mean, if you actually get selected as the world's unluckiest traveler, what do you get?
Well, before I answer that one, I just want to say our honeymoon couple actually have survived, even though they only had 24 hours of all their missed flights. So at least that solidified their relationship. But the two winners will get this. So during the months of the year, we picked 11 winners, and they could win a flip phone, as well as one of the lucky people who voted for the winner could also win a flip camera. But now for this final event, which we're going to debut in New York on July 19th, we will announce
July 19th or January 19th?
January 19th, sorry. and we will announce the grand prize winner of a $10,000 dream vacation of choice, both for the winner of the submitted story, but equally, like the during the months, we will pick one of the voters as well, and they will also win.
Cool. All right, so we have cliffhangers and tippy canoes and 24-hour honeymoons, and I mean, you know, it's planes, trains, and automobiles, and you know what Mark Twain once said is you can learn a lot about somebody just by traveling with them. So, it's funny. We just had that experience that happened off the coast of San Diego with the Carnival Cruise Line that was out of commission for 2 days, floating around out there, and there was all these rumors that they were eating spam, which they weren't. You know what? I'm going to make you a prediction. 9 months from that incident, there'll be a lot of babies born.
Yeah, you're right.
That was not a cruise from hell. That was an opportunity to get closer.
Perfect. And you know, and on all this, and we're raising a lot of awareness about, you know, what can happen when you travel and all the reasons why you might want to have travel insurance.
All right. Dean Sibley, the president and CEO of Travel Guard. And, of course, coming up on January 19th, we'll probably have the winner on the show, or maybe the loser, of the world's unluckiest traveler. Thanks, Dean. We really appreciate that. When we come back, a big surprise here in Miami. Somebody you've never met but need to meet.
Call now to talk to Peter Greenberg at 1-888-887-3837 or email him at peter@petergreenberg.com. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Travel Guard Insurance. For travel insurance plans for the unexpected, see your travel agent or visit TravelGuard.com for affordable travel insurance protection from Travel Guard.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
43 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg with you here in Miami, Florida, where we've been hanging out at the new JW Marriott and taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. Well, you know, when you come to Miami, you hear about certain things like the Miami Heat. You hear about, you know, the Cuban restaurants. You hear about things that you really want to go do that are not in the brochure. And then everybody keeps telling me, you know, you got to meet this woman. You can't come to Miami without meeting Lynn Arison. And I'm going, why? I says, well, she's got this book. And a friend of mine said, you got to talk to her. Well, guess what? We're talking to her. She's on the show right now. The name of the book is Feast for the Senses. It's a musical odyssey in Umbria, otherwise known as Italy, for those people who don't know where that is. But the cool part about it is this is somebody who not just loves to travel, but obviously when you see this book, also loves to tell stories. And it's one-stop shopping because the name of the book, again, is Feast for the Senses, which means it's not just a travel book. It's not just a music book. It's not just an art book. You're going to get assaulted in this book. I mean, am I right, Lynn?
Well, it's powerful. It's really powerful. But the traveling was powerful, too. What could I do?
But listen, you've been traveling all your life.
This is true.
Right?
That's true.
Okay, but I mean, how did you stumble onto this, then?
I stumble onto things. That's what happens. It's a happening. I started off innocently with a travel book.
Right.
Poking around Umbria. And we start the book off as that happens.
Oh, wait. Did you just wake up one morning and say, I'd like to poke around Umbria? No.
Well, basically, yes.
That's not a bad deal. Okay.
Basically, yes. I had finished a book on France. I wasn't ready to go back to real life again. And I thought, where do I want to spend a few years? And I started out scouting. And I had a tour set up for Umbria and Tuscany. And after the first day in Umbria, I said, this is my story.
Right.
I went through to Tuscany, which I had been to before. It was fabulous. But it wasn't exciting anymore for me because I had turned on that first day in Umbria.
And that was it.
And that was
it. And no turning back.
And no turning back. And, wow, I didn't want to.
Yeah. How long did it take you to the book?
Well, I started all of this in 2003. I started the scouting. But what was so exciting is that along the way, in 2004, Michael Tilson Thomas and the New World Symphony came to Rome, and they did a concert, as a matter of fact, two, to standing ovations, in Santa Cecilia, Mahler's Fifth. And then Michael said, I've got 3 days before I have to go back to work. What should I do? And I said, well, why don't I take you around and show you my book on Umbria so far? And so during that time, I got this crazy idea to bring some of the musicians from the New World Symphony to pose for my photographer and do concerts in Umbria and make friends with the Umbrians and all in all these amazing places. And Michael came along, too.
And the next thing you know, it's like an Andy Hardy movie.
I mean, right? And it was.
Right? I'm dating myself when I say an Andy Hardy movie.
I'm with you.
I know. But next thing you know, you're making a show.
And it was a show. It was so fabulous. And we have DVDs, 3 DVDs in the book, where we have these musicians doing their music, doing their concerts in these amazing places under the stars. We did outdoor concerts, so you see the landscape of Umbria. And then we end up, which is the really funny part, in Miami with the Geary Building, which is the campus of the New World Symphony. And what's going to be there will be, as it opens, it's January 25th through the 30th, is the launching. There is a park across the street from the building, and there's a big wall cast for half of the building. And so when people walk along Lincoln Road Mall, they're going to see the lights, going to hear the music, come through the park, and sit down and get captivated.
So basically, you figured out the connection between Miami and Umbria.
That's it.
And it's in the book.
And it's in the book.
Okay. As you said, slapping that book. I just heard that. Okay. The name of the book, again, Feast of the Senses, A Musical Odyssey in Umbria. The author, the most connected woman in Miami. No, I take that back. The most connected woman in Umbria, Lynn Arison. Hey, Lynn, thanks for joining us. I really agree. And I can't wait for the building to open up. That's,
it's going to be fabulous.
Listen, you got Michael Tilson Thomas, you got Frank Gehry, and you got the book.
That's it.
You're golden.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, Lynn.
Thank
when we come back, we're going to take you behind the scenes of Daniel Boulud's new restaurant right here in Miami. Back with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide from Miami, where we're going to have another Feast for the Senses coming up right after this.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. Now back to Peter Greenberg Worldwide.
52 minutes after the hour, coming to you from Miami, Florida, where we've been checking out the new JW Marriott, the 41-story, 313-room brand-new hotel in a city that probably doesn't need a lot of new hotels unless they're really, really good or in positions where you can actually have a great time. I think the downtown area is going to be coming back big time, and so we're checking that out. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. Email me, Peter at petergreenberg.com, with your name, phone number, question, or problem, and we'll solve it right here on the air. My next guest has an interesting history with me. She started out as one of my interns, ended up, in many cases, even producing this show, and now, I'm not saying there's a connection here, but she's a published author. In fact, not the first time out of the gate, now the second, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the name of the book, The Cheap Bastard's Guide to Miami. Love that title. Dara Bramson.
Hi.
Hi. Wow. And, of course, you're a local.
I am. I'm a Miami native. I was born here. So I'm now in New York, but I'm glad to be here for some warmth.
Miami's not that warm right this minute.
I mean, compared to New York right now.
That's right. Well, you know, it's interesting. I always like to say, if you want to know what's going on, you ask a local. If it's not in the brochure, that's what I want to know about.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the stuff in this book is not in the brochure, which is very cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's absolutely true. And I think the really interesting thing is a lot of the stuff that is in the book that people have heard of, there's a spin on it that they didn't know about.
Okay, give me an example.
Well, let's say like a Whole Foods, which is a national chain. People don't know that you can go for free tastings and free... you can get free samples all the time, and you know when.
So that's how you've been living in Miami all this time.
Yeah, I try.
All right, that's a cool thing. But here's one about public transportation. To me, you know, I love a city that the public transportation works and it actually gets you where you need to go. I'm always on subways and buses in New York because I know where they're going. Mm-hmm. I've lived in Los Angeles since I'm 21 years old. I've never taken a single bus in L.A. because I have no idea where they go.
Yes.
Miami?
Yes.
Come on.
Yeah, so Miami, public transportation overall is definitely not a popular thing, but a lot of people don't know about, there's a South Beach local bus, which is 25 cents all over South Beach, and Brickell has the same thing, so 25 cents, you can get anywhere around Brickell.
Well, look, if you're visiting South Beach and you've rented a car, you're an idiot, because you can't park it anywhere.
Yes.
You have to get an estimate to get your car parked. 25 cents, you just hop on, hop off, and... Mm-hmm. There's your designated driver.
Yeah, exactly. And there's actually a program as well, which is included in the new book. That's a new program for people who need late-night rides, so to avoid drunk driving, which is very cool.
Now, one of the things I like to come down here to do, of course, is the South Beach Food and Wine Festival. Mm-hmm. You have so many festivals down here in Florida.
Yes.
But they're not inexpensive. But you have ways to do that too, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot of the festivals have free and cheap events, which is great. And there's also... a ton of opportunities to volunteer. So for people who do want to take advantage of the festival but don't necessarily have the funds to do so, they can volunteer, let's say, for the film festivals, especially the Miami International Film Festival has this great volunteer program where you can volunteer a few hours, and then you can see free movies. So it's awesome.
So basically you haven't gone to your wallet in years.
Yeah, I've definitely, when I was in college here, I definitely took advantage of some of these things, and I've learned a lot writing the book as well.
Now, look, there are great hotels down here in Miami and Miami Beach and South Beach.
Yes.
and you know, Biscayne and Coral Gables. The prices are not inexpensive. You've actually found what? Hostels.
Yeah, believe it or not, there are several hostels in South Beach.
Now, my idea of a hostel is a cot with a graham cracker cookie that's 5 days old.
Yeah, so some of these are very swanky, according to hostel terms, and they have full bars, they have beds starting at, let's say, $20 a night, so it's really...
But wait a minute, if you have to sleep on one of those beds, you may have to do some serious drinking.
Perhaps. I think some of them have non-bunk bed rooms, so
okay.
that's a plus. But really, I mean, the whole city is really, if you look a little deeper, caters to people who don't have huge budgets. I mean, I just booked a flight from Miami back to New York in January for $64.
What airline?
American.
That ain't bad.
No.
Is that during the dead week?
It's January 7th.
Told you guys. I've been saying this for years. Think about that. If you wanted to fly from Miami to New York today, one way is $539. I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
January 7th?
$64. And it goes down to $59, $49. So if you have the time to be flexible with your schedule, you can get these cheap flights, stay at a hostel, there's tons of free happy hours with free foods. You could do it virtually for free.
So basically, you've been mooching off everybody for the last 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, you know, my parents are nice people.
So they let you sleep on their couch.
Yeah,
okay,
when I come home, yeah.
Okay. Bottom line, what was the biggest surprising find for you in the research of this book?
I think a lot of the most interesting thing for me was probably these establishments that you really consider to be very high-end and some of the events they have that are free and cheap. There are a ton of amazing, let's say the Van Dyke Cafe, which is on South Beach and has great food. They also have jazz certain nights of the week, and it's one of the best places to see jazz in the city, and it's very inexpensive. And some of these places that you would stray away from if you don't have money, but you can really check out if you don't. So, yeah.
Very cool. Dara Branson, I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Internships with me pay off. All right. Name of the book, The Cheap Bastard's Guide to Miami. Great title.
Thank you.
It's out now. Dara, thanks for joining us.
Thank
that music
you.
Means we're out of time for this hour. For those stations leaving us, have a great rest of your weekend. But for those stations sticking around, we've got a whole lot more coming from Miami on Peter Greenberg Worldwide. So stick around. We'll be back right after these messages. Or maybe I'll just check into a hostel.
You've been listening to Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com. Live from around the world, it's time for Peter Greenberg Worldwide with America's number one frontline travel news journalist.
the phone now and call 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. And now, the man who travels over 400,000 miles each year, the travel detective, Peter Greenberg.
And welcome aboard Peter Greenberg Worldwide on this pre-Christmas weekend. All right, so are you stuck at the mall? You get no sympathy from me, but if you're listening to this show, we might actually both learn something together on this journey by calling 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We will solve it right on the air. We've been living on airplanes for the last 12 days, everywhere from France to Cairo and Luxor to Roatan and Honduras into Mexico, and now coming to you from Miami. In fact, we've been hanging out at the new JW Marriott Marquis in downtown Miami and checking them out, a neighborhood that I used to ignore and now seems to be coming back. Lots of stuff in the news this week. You know, we're talking about airline mergers and consolidations. We've already seen in the last 2 years, of course, Delta and Northwest. We now are watching Continental and United come together. And then we're going to start to see it happen overseas with a U.S. partner. And the rumors are rampant that Delta and Virgin Atlantic are about to get together. And that's one of the reasons why that's happening, of course, is because the solidification of the alliances on the One World Alliance and the Star Alliance. But in the One World Alliance, the solidification between American, Iberia, and British Airways. So there are those who would argue, and we've talked about this on the show before, and we'll continue to talk about it, that we're no longer going to be flying airlines in 5 years. We'll be flying alliances, and we'll be flying either One World or Star or Sky Team. The biggest alliance, of course, is the Star Alliance. They've got 27 different carriers. But I think Virgin, as a defensive move, is entertaining the thought of some sort of a very strategic merger or partnership with Delta. So stay tuned for that. Carnival, of course, announcing that their ship, the Splendor, you remember that one? The one that was adrift off the coast of Mexico in Southern California, it's in worse shape than we thought, so they've canceled additional voyages, and it may reenter service, or at least it won't reenter service before February 20th of next year. So be aware of that as well. It's one of those things that one of those things breaks, takes a while to fix it. Lots of other stuff to get to, including your email. So let's do that right now. One from Beverly in Iowa. My husband and I are taking an Alaskan cruise next July. Due to the age of our parents, we believe we should get trip insurance. What do you recommend? I heard you say you shouldn't buy from the company you booked the trip with. Is this true? Yes, it is. You do not buy travel insurance from the travel provider itself. So if you're taking the Alaska cruise, do not buy the insurance from the cruise line. My experience has been that the insurance offered by the cruise line is really meaningless. It only works if the cruise line doesn't operate. It doesn't work if you don't operate. They have draconian refund policies to begin with. So go to any travel agent, and they can sell you basic trip cancellation and interruption insurance offered by a number of different organizations, whether it's Access America or Travel Guard or others. Just make sure you read the fine print, because the premiums vary between 9 and 13% of the cost of your trip based on what you're going to get on the policy. If you have to cancel the trip because you're sick or you've died or your relative has died, that's probably the lowest premium percentage. But there's another policy that allows you to cancel for any reason whatsoever, like you just don't want to go. Well, you're paying about 13% premium there. So buy accordingly, but again, through a third party, not through the cruise line itself. One from Seth in Idaho, a place called Post Falls. We are booked with BookIt.com to Cancun at the end of January. We are traveling with our children. I'm now very worried. Travel company does not want to change flights. Well, why are you worried? Because safety? Let me tell you something. When it comes to Mexico right now, let me give you the bad news. Cartel violence, no doubt about it. Can't ignore it. Nearly 30,000 people killed in the last 5 or 6 years. But that's cartel against cartel, Mexicans against Mexicans in northern border towns primarily, like Nuevo Laredo, Ciudad Juarez, etc. You're going to Cancun. Get a map. This is eastern Mexico. It's in the Yucatan. And let me tell you this. The distance between Tijuana and Cancun is roughly the equivalent of the distance between Los Angeles and JFK. This is a very big country. I was just in Mexico 2 days ago in Cozumel, which is very close to Cancun. No problemo. Okay? That's what I'm telling you. So right now, I would have no hesitation at all about going to Mexico. So just some thoughts there. I hope that's helpful to you. Other things you need to know about, obviously, when you want to take a trip like that, you want to get up to speed on what's going on. You want to read State Department advisories, but I would go one step beyond that. I'm not a big fan of U.S. State Department advisories. I am a big fan of advisories from other governments, meaning the British Foreign Service does an excellent job of advising its citizens. I think they do a better job than we do. And if you go to my website, petergreenberg.com, we'll give you all the links to get to the foreign countries' websites advising their own citizens of things they need to know when they travel abroad. Here's one more email from Ellen in Fort Smith. Going to Italy and need to be able to be reached at all times. I'm sorry you're that important, Ellen. What do you recommend? We have a track phone, which does not work in Europe. That's true. You want GSM, of course. It's used throughout much of the world, including in Europe, where it's standard. You can get a World Traveler plan from AT&T for about $6 a month. And they have roaming agreements in more than 190 countries throughout the world. Keep in mind, it's about volume of calls, and if you're not careful, those roaming charges will sink your ship. T-Mobile, same thing. They'll charge anywhere from 49 cents to $4 a minute. And, of course, Verizon starts at $4.99 a month, but, of course, it's the minute charges that'll get you, and they go up to $5 a minute, but you can roam into about 26 countries. I know you need to be contacted. If I were you, I would get email and only call when absolutely necessary, but if you really need to be contacted by phone, there are the three services, the World Traveler plan from AT&T, which does work in Italy and about 189 countries around the world, T-Mobile at $3.99 a minute, and, of course, Verizon, it goes up to about $4.99 a minute and starts at $4.99 a month, and the AT&T plan, by the way, is $5.99 a month. I just thought I'd mention that. And if anybody's near a television set this Sunday morning, I'll be on CBS Sunday Morning with Charles Osgood, doing my ode to planes, trains, and automobiles and the horrors and pitfalls of holiday travel. Isn't that very special for this annual moment of our travel season? So if you're not watching It's a Wonderful Life, tune on, look on to the other side of that, the not-so-wonderful life of traveling during the holidays. That'll be this Sunday the 19th on CBS Sunday Morning with Charles Osgood. And, of course, go to our website, petergreenberg.com, for all the updates about travel during the holidays, because let's face it, it's messy out there. As I speak to you now, Heathrow is closed, Gatwick is closed. Last week when I was in Europe, Charles de Gaulle was closed, Berlin was closed, Frankfurt was closed. It's snowing out there, folks. So get ready to rerun Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, or you can watch me on CBS Sunday Morning. We'll be back with more from Miami and Peter Greenberg Worldwide right after these messages. Hang in there.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. Got a travel question or comment? Need advice? Jump on board now by calling the show at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. Once again, here's your host, Peter Greenberg.
18 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg coming to you from Miami, where we're checking out the new JW Marriott Marquis in Miami, taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill, boys and girls. You email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem, so we can solve it every time you do that on the air. And speaking of that, you know, we travel to a different location every week, but you can always get a sneak peek into next week's radio show location if you sign up for my free newsletter. That's right, it's FREE. We update it every day because we believe that travel is news. It's not transactional. It's informational. It goes right into your email box. And if you really want to go behind the scenes and get instant access to all my previous radio shows, then you can sign up to be an insider. This costs you about, well, a little bit less than $5 a month. And you know what? Not a bad holiday gift. So check out petergreenberg.com for all the details on that. And while you're at it, remember, we archive on our newsletter all the great institutions, agencies, and organizations that are doing that essential hard work in Haiti, in Western China, in Chile, in the Gulf of Mexico. Those people need so much of our help, especially in Haiti. It's a 10-year rebuilding effort at the very beginning. And this is a way for you to get involved personally, actively, physically. Yes, you can always donate money on your cell phone, but I'm telling you, look at this list. You may be quite surprised at what you can bring to the party to help out. And if you do it, guess what? You become the party. Trust me on this. Lots of stuff to talk about in the news this week, and I'm going to get to it right now. You know, it's ironic that we are still more than coming up on the second anniversary, terribly enough, of the Colgan air crash in Buffalo. It's hard to believe that we still don't have enough transparency in understanding which airline we're flying on when we make a reservation. And the Buffalo News, interestingly enough, checked this out this week. They did a study of 10 top travel websites and 5 major airline sites that found that a number of these sites are still flagrantly skirting the law about revealing whether or not you're flying on a mainline airline or a regional carrier. I think people have a right to know. And to bring you up to speed on that, the people who died on that flight back in 2009, bought their tickets. The ticket said Continental. They checked in at a Continental gate. They boarded a plane that had Continental logo on its tail and Continental colors, Continental signage. And turned out to be operated by Colgan Air. And as we all know, when that plane crashed near Buffalo, killing 50 people, that the pilots hadn't been properly trained. They were clearly out of their league in terms of what they were facing that night. They did the exact wrong thing when they were confronted with that incident. Instead of pushing the nose down, he pulled it up and pulled it into a stall, and we all know what happened after that. Bottom line is, we do need to know the airline we're flying on. I think we have a right to do that. So, kudos out to the Buffalo News for figuring this out, and we will certainly stay on top of that. And also, speaking of Continental, the airlines by the end of this year will be generating over 4.3, this is just domestic airlines, $4.3 billion in ancillary revenues. We're talking about, checked baggage fees and pillow fees and blanket fees and everything but short of going to the bathroom fees. There's a new fee. Here it is. I mean, there's some airlines that want to charge you up to $39 just to sit closer to first class. You know what that means? You can smell the cookies, but you still can't have one. Well, there's another new fee now. And when I first heard about it, I sort of got angry, and then I waited, and then I realized, you know what? I might actually want to pay this fee. Continental Airlines is offering something called FareLock. It's a new fee that allows you to lock in a fare for up to a week and then cancel it without being penalized. Because we all know that the ticket penalties for canceling or changing are $150 minimum. So here's how it works. If you want a three-day option to hold your fare, it's $5, and a seven-day option will run you $9. They'll still continue to allow you to cancel a reservation within 24 hours at no cost. But I think it's a pretty good idea, considering what they're going to hose you for if you don't, or if you want to change your mind later. So it's called FareLock, and a lot of European carriers are starting to do it anyway. They're called fare option fees. It's now live on the Continental website. So, and of course, they're about to merge with United. They're in that process right now, so I'm sure it'll apply to all of their flights. Let's go to a couple of emails. One from Jackie in Maryland. I scheduled travel through Delta via cheap tickets to travel to Denver from Washington National. 3 weeks prior to the travel date, I lost my job. I canceled with a friend, but not with Delta, assuming I could use the ticket to obtain a voucher for future travel. And, of course, here comes that ticket change fee. You know what? The $219 ticket, the change fee was, drum roll, please. I'll just make one up. $200. Guess what, darling? That's why tickets are called non-refundable. That's why they hose you with these change fees. That's why we suggest you get trip cancellation and interruption insurance, which would have cost you about $12 for that particular ticket, by the way. I'm sorry to hear about it, and I don't know what else to tell you. However, we've learned a painful lesson there. From Austin in Toronto, Canada, would you recommend shipping luggage from Toronto to New York, or should I check it with the airline? For those of you who listen to the show regularly, you know that I believe there are only two kinds of airline bags, carry-on and lost. However, and I've been, you know, basically couriering my bags for the last 8 years. I haven't checked a bag domestically, except maybe on a Sunday, in about 8 years, because I use FedEx. I can also use UPS and about 17 other services. For about $30 more than what the airlines want to charge you to lose your bag, my bags go door-to-door. I save 2 hours of my life every time I travel, and they're waiting for me when I get there at my destination. But that's for domestic travel. Toronto to New York, no, check the bag. You're dealing with customs at that point and everything else. So, no, do not courier the bag. Check the bag. Now let's switch to our managing editor for PeterGreenberg.com, our intrepid partner out there in California, Sarika Shala. Hey, Sarika.
I'm in rainy California right now.
Ooh, rainy California.
Boring, yeah.
Ooh, okay. So mudslides coming, huh?
Yeah, well, you know what? I feel like it's our version of the holidays, holiday weather.
Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like the holidays when it's 76 and sunny.
I know. So now it's 76 and rainy.
Exactly.
Okay, so what do we got on the website this week?
Okay, well, it is the holidays, so we kind of went holiday mad. We have gift guides galore. So pretty much anything you want to find for the traveler, we've got it on the website. We have Phil Baker, our gadget guy. He did a couple of guides for us, basically going over some of his favorite gadgets of 2010, and then also just, you know, little gifts and items for the traveler. And the number one favorite, can you guess actually what the his favorite gadget of the year is?
His favorite gadget? Well, I know what my favorite gadget of the year is. It's duct tape, but what's his?
Oh, there you go. The iPad.
Oh, well, duh.
Yeah, I know. It's just the most accessible and just it, really, I think the bonus behind the iPad is that it's great for pretty much all ages. Have you played Angry Birds by any chance?
No, but everybody's talking about it.
It's the best. It's pretty addictive.
See, my favorite app, of course, is Shazam, but I'm old school by Shazam now. You know.
It's pretty useful, though. Shazam is helpful, because how many times are you in the airport and you hear that music overhead and say...
No, it is. You're not just at an airport. You're at, like, Banana Republic or The Gap, or you're shopping somewhere, and you hear a great mix, and the people who work there have no clue, because they imported it from somebody else, and you go, hey, what's that song? And, I don't know. You just put up Shazam up there with your iPhone. Next thing you know, you got the artist, the name of the album, and you got the song.
So you got the guy in Banana Republic holding your phone up in the air?
We'll start a trend.
We'll do that.
All right, what else you got?
We've got the also we have a lot of gift guides or a gift guide that's aimed towards families who are traveling. There's, you know, of course there's the technological gadgets, but really if you're a family traveling with smaller kids, there are just some cute little items that you really could use to make the whole process easier, to keep the kids entertained or to keep them comfortable and happy. So there's some really sweet little things out there. Like, have you heard of the Zuby Pets?
No.
Oh, they're so great. It's just these little stuffed animals, but they come with a blanket inside. So if you're traveling with a small kid, they've got their comforting stuffed animal, then they can curl up with a blanket, and it's all in one. It's pretty adorable. Definitely a great gift for a parent or a child.
All right.
Yeah. And so then in addition to all the gift guides, which are all right there on our site, we have sort of a series of retrospectives from just some of our columnists looking at...
That's right. The music's cutting you off. Looking at the last year, otherwise known as 2010. In fact, mine's going to come up next week.
Yes.
Not only that, my wish list of what I really want to have happen in travel for 2011. Sarika Shala, our managing editor from PeterGreenberg.com. Thanks, Sarika. And when we come back, we're going eating in Miami.
To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit PeterGreenberg.com. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Avis. Avis, we try harder.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
33 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you, coming to you from Miami, where we've been checking out the new JW Marriott Marquis. Say that three times fast. and taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill, boys and girls. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, number, and problem, and we will solve it right here on the air. You know, anytime a hotel opens up these days, they finally figured it out that, you know, hotel food is not an afterthought. It's actually driving a lot of local traffic. It makes a statement, especially if you get a signature chef and somebody whose style you really like. And the Marriott is no exception to that. When they opened, they brought in, guess who? Danielle Boulud. And the name of his restaurant, of course, is DB Bistro Moderne. And the executive chef, someone who trained under him for many years, Jared Verbiak. Hey, Jared.
Hello, Pete. How are you?
I'm doing fine. So, you know, it's French. Describe the cuisine, because I'm a little confused. We're in Miami, you know, so... So it's French what?
No, it's French, it's French American. We say French American, but it's French technique, French cuisine, driven by the American market, and obviously being in Florida by the Miami market.
So any Cuban influence in there at all?
Not Cuban per se, but we do travel a bit with the cuisine. Danielle likes to experiment with different kinds of spices and different cultures' influences.
When you're preparing a dish, I mean, obviously Miami is a great, you know, gateway city because you can source so much stuff, right? Is there anything here you can source that you couldn't source in New York, or stuff that is like so special to this area?
Well, locally, there's a few farmers, and one family, the Swank family in particular, is just a small farm, and they grow all beautiful different kinds of herbs and beans and beets and root vegetables and flowering different heirloom zucchinis and things, and they come once a week. I talk to Jody. She tells me what's growing, what's beautiful at the moment, and we make our purchase based on that, and then we make our menus for the week based on that.
I mean, I think you're getting a sort of a more educated customer who wants to know, you know, farm to table stuff about where it comes from. A lot of menus these days really go the extra mile. And they don't just tell you, oh, we have butternut squash. They tell you where it's from, the farm, how it was picked. It's all, they tell a story in the menu.
Yeah, we think it's very important to know what you're eating, to know where the things are coming from.
Now, local fish. I'm a big fish eater, right? Seafood is my life. So, you know, here in Miami, you're getting stuff you're not necessarily getting in New York all the time.
Absolutely.
Like?
The grouper, the triggerfish, the stone crab claws.
We'll get to stone crab in a minute, but what, you say triggerfish. Explain.
Well, triggerfish is one example, but you know what? One thing that I liked when I got here, fish related. There's a fisherman who you know, again, it's like Jody Swank. You know, he calls me up. He tells me what he speared that morning.
Come on,
and he said,
really?
Yes. Like he brings me fish, and I'll lose a portion because there's a gash where the spear went in under the gill. I mean, it's so fresh, and you know, another part of using these smaller purveyors is that it's like we can feel their passion. I mean, when the guy's got a smile on his face, and he couldn't be more excited to put this fish in my hand so that I can put it on my plate, you know, for the guests. And
so he's actually selling you fish by fish, just one at a time?
No, not one at a time, exactly.
I mean, like, you get a phone call at 3 in the morning, I got a fish. I mean,
okay, well, hey, that's a little exaggerated.
Okay.
But there is something to that. He goes to, you know, he hits the local market, and then he's got his guys that he trusts. And, you know, he's not on the boat anymore, but, you know, his guys are bringing him the best stuff.
He's got people.
Yeah.
That's cool. All right, so you said triggerfish, grouper, right? And now we got to get to the stone crab.
Yeah.
I mean, stone crab is you know, Miami made it famous, of course, because of Joe's, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting, you know, Joe's in Las Vegas, and you go, wait a minute, stone crab in Las Vegas? Like, stop, you know. And yet, they're stone crab in Las Vegas because they fly them in, right? Are you preparing your stone crab any differently?
No. It's just about displaying a great product with the stone crab. It's steamed very clean, and then we serve it on the ice with the classic
the mustard
mayonnaise.
That's it, baby.
But then we also do it with the fresh basil pesto aioli.
Now, you've only been here a couple months because you trained basically with Daniel in New York. But when outside your restaurant, where do you like to hang?
Oh boy, you know the restaurants that I
and you can pick the sleaziest burger place you want.
No. Well, I haven't had enough time to really dig into that just yet. But I have had a chance to visit some restaurants that I had great experiences at, particularly. Both of Michelle Bernstein's restaurants, Michi's, and Signora Martinez. Also, Michael's Genuine. He invited us there for brunch a few weeks ago, and we were blown away. It was a terrific experience. Very, very, just great, great food. And also, the Gotham Steakhouse on the beach. A great experience there.
Really?
And that's a little more, you know, formal, but it's terrific.
You got it. Jared Verbiak, I'm going to have dinner with you tonight. I'm going for the seafood, but I'm going to go check the spear marks. Can I do that?
Yeah.
All right. When we come back, more about Ask the Locals right here in Miami with somebody who knows it better than just about anybody. Back with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Hanging out here at the JW Marriott Marquis. Back with more of us right after this.
Call now to talk to Peter Greenberg at 1-888-887-3837 or email him at peter@petergreenberg.com. The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. Now back to Peter Greenberg Worldwide.
It's 43 minutes after the hour, coming to you from Miami, Florida. Peter Greenberg here, taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And my next guest, what a varied career. She's been a People magazine correspondent. She's been on E! But she's probably got the best job in Miami because she gets to go to all the parties, she gets to play, she gets to be with the beautiful people who are always featured in her magazine. I've actually been in your magazine. I mean, it was an accident, I think.
No, you're very glamorous.
Oh, thank you. Oh, okay, you can stay on the show now. Okay, you can suck up all you want. That person's voice you just heard is Susie Buckley, who's the editor-in-chief of Ocean Drive magazine. Hey, Susie.
Hey, it's great to be here.
Last time you and I saw each other, which you reminded me, we were doing the radio show live from Mendoza in Argentina.
Argentina, that was a great event.
Oh, Western Masters Argentina, food. Man, that the Argentinian wines, those Malbecs. I'm not a big wine drinker, but I'm telling you, Malbec is for me.
Absolutely, and the Torontes.
Yes.
Oh, love it.
But here Absolutely. We are in Miami again.
I know.
And now you're not a Miami native, but you came here for school.
Mm-hmm.
You've been here what, 18 years.
18 years.
So you're a local now. Come on, you're a big
Absolutely.
Local.
Absolutely, I feel more at home here.
All right, now I know that Ocean Drive. It's very, you know, very glossy. It's very beautiful. It's always the new openings, the new clubs, the new restaurants, the new this, the new charity functions. All, but I want to put that on the side for a second. I want to talk about Susie's picks, all right? Because we got to ask the locals here. So where does Susie like to hang out that my listeners might want to hang out to?
Well, I guess it depends what part of town they're staying in. If they're staying in the downtown area, the new area, well, around the beach.
Well, let's start with downtown where we are with the JW Meredith.
Okay. Well, there is a wonderful restaurant. If you, depending on what you want to spend, really close to the JW Marriott, called Il Gabbiano, a couple steps away. There's also
that's Italian for expensive.
Italian for that, yeah. Okay, fine, translates literally to very expensive and amazing.
Okay.
So the seagull. Also steps away from your hotel is Zuma, which everybody's talking about.
Oh yeah, I know Zuma. Yeah.
So again, very pricey, but a few blocks north, parallel to like where the entrance of that hotel is a great place called Fratelli Milano. Used to be about, I don't know, like the size of a closet, and then it just blew up because the local business people in that area, you know, that downtown Miami is known for just businesses and, you know, very little residential.
Things are changing.
Yeah, things are definitely changing. And these two brothers, they're twins, they opened up this wonderful Italian restaurant, and it's very reasonably priced, and it's so authentic and delicious. Love
it. Now, you know, our last guest, Jared, the chef over of at DB Mondeur, and I mean, we talked about seafood. But let's stay on that seafood motif here for a second. What do you like to eat seafood like?
Well, you know what I like is that famous fish Escobar. That's probably one of my favorites.
Now, that sounds like a Colombian drug dealer. I'm sorry, because that's Escobar. Okay.
Yeah, no, it's an Escobar, and that's just one of my favorite fish. And they call it, also I like monkfish, you know, I like just sort of meaty white fish.
Right, but where do you like to go get that stuff?
Garcia's is great. Garcia's on the river. Have you heard of that place?
I haven't.
Okay, Garcia's, you take Flagler, which is somewhat near your hotel. You'd have to drive, though, and it's all the way straight west, and it is some of the freshest seafood that you'll ever have in Miami. The boats pull up right there, and they get fresh food, fresh fish every day, even Sundays.
See, now, that raises an interesting point, because I've always been told you never order shellfish or seafood on Sundays or Mondays because they haven't gotten deliveries.
Well, it depends on what kind of restaurant you're going to. If you're going to a restaurant that's really busy, like a Prime 112 or a Garcia's or a Joe's, I mean, they get deliveries every day because they have the market.
Okay, I want to talk to you about Prime 112. Are you ready for this?
Oh, yes.
Oh, no, I got things to say about that.
Prime 112.
Let me talk about that.
You better not say anything bad. It's one of my favorites.
I'm going to tell you something interesting. How about that for a catch? I went there for dinner one night, and for those people who don't know, it is a scene, no doubt about it. I walk in, and the owner says, oh, I got a great table for you. Let me tell you where he puts me. He puts me above the porte cochere on the balcony.
That is a good table.
It is a great table. Boy, was it a great table, because I couldn't believe what I was about to see. I'm sitting there. You're starting to laugh, but get ready. I'm sitting there at this table overlooking other people entering the restaurant, right? And every 7 minutes, some stretch limo pulls up, and nine of the most beautiful leggy models in the world get out. And I went, the first came out, there must be ladies who are just having dinner together and models getting together. And 5 minutes later, another limo pulls up, and nine leggy beautiful models get out. I'm going, is there a model convention here I didn't know about? And I finally figured out his scam. He invites all the modeling agencies there and gives them free drinks.
Well, how do you think Miami Beach was founded as a glamorous destination?
Oh, my
everybody
God.
All these modeling agencies get free everything. That attracts all the paying customers.
And then, of course, I go downstairs, and I bump into five guy friends of mine who could not wait to buy drinks.
Of course. Hello. You found the formula. You've discovered it.
Unbelievable. There was Ponce de Leon and then me. Susie Buckley, editor-in-chief of Ocean Drive Magazine. We're keeping you over for one more segment, because you have to explain a few more things to me when we come back from Miami, Florida. Back right after this.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
MedJet Assist. If you're injured or hospitalized while traveling, MedJet Assist will arrange medical transportation directly to the hospital of your choice. Travel safely and be smart. Get MedJet Assist. Take trips, not chances.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
52 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here talking with Susie Buckley, the editor-in-chief of Ocean Drive Magazine, and all things Miami, I should say. Mm-hmm. We were talking about where you like to go eat, but Miami's a lot more than eating. Of course, every time I used to take a red-eye to Miami from Los Angeles, and you land at 5:30 in the morning, and by the time you get to South Beach, you get to see everybody going home, right?
Yeah, that's what's funny.
And they're wearing what they're wearing to work. I mean, they're...
Yeah, what can you say? We're in a party town.
You are in a party town. But where can you go... let me shift gears. Let's say in terms of art galleries, museums, places that are not necessarily in the brochure that you think are really cutting edge.
Well, I mean, cutting edge wise, you might want to try the Wynwood Arts District. They have it's the last Friday or the last Saturday of every month. It's the Wynwood Art Walk.
And all the galleries open their doors.
All the galleries are open, and there's food and wine and music and in the wake of Art Basel right now. Yeah, that was just a few weeks ago.
We did the show from there, yeah.
Yeah, it's really turned into an art town. It's turned into this...
And that whole Wynwood district is all the old lofts, right? I mean, they really turned it around.
Absolutely. So it used to be a scary area, and now people are taking chances, opening up galleries. Obviously, Craig Robbins did so much with the Miami Design District, and it didn't happen right away, but now it's happening.
It's happened.
Now we've got amazing boutiques that have opened up there, so it's not only the furniture... It's not only the lighting, it's not only the interior designers that have showrooms, it's also amazing restaurants, and we have Marnie, Christian Louboutin, we have very high-end retailers. So the market finally caught up.
And, of course, we'll find you there.
Yes, you'll find me there, for sure.
What's the biggest surprise about Miami right now that for somebody who's not been here a lot or never been here at all, that you'd say, I bet you didn't know X?
I bet you didn't know that we're not old. We're a very young city. remember, every once in a while I'll hear Conan O'Brien or I'll hear some comedian joke about how, oh, Miami, where everyone goes to retire and whatnot.
But, well, they used to call Miami Beach God's waiting room.
Right, exactly. Especially like south of 5th, which is where Prime 112 is, by the way. And it's not like that anymore. It's a very young community. I mean, I think our average age is closer to 45 these days.
It's very funny. There's a book that came out a couple of years ago. I just happened to stumble across it. I think they're making a movie of it now, of a guy whose father retired to Miami Beach, right? Mm-hmm. And the father says, you never come down to visit me, you never call. And he actually comes down to see his dad. His dad's dating 25-year-olds. He's like partying all night long. And he wrote a book called Assisted Loving. Because the guy himself, the father was doing better in the love life than the son. So the father said, stick with me, I'll get you all the babes you want. And these two guys are cruising together on Collins,
oh,
you know.
My gosh. Well, it's true. I mean, my friends are not only 24 years old, but I hang out with a couple who's about 62 and 63 years old. And they're sometimes more fun than their son who lives in New York. There's really no age barriers here. Everyone parties with everyone else. And
all right, so the biggest surprise is, you know, you're not a geriatric capitalist.
Right, but it's so funny. Every once in a while I'll hear someone say, oh, I'm like, well, what era are you living in?
Okay.
You haven't heard that we're young now?
Shopping.
Mm.
Your favorite topic, I know.
Mm, probably.
Okay, but is there a place to go? Is there a farmer's market I need to know about?
Yes, in Coconut Grove, there is a farmer's market every Saturday, or is it Sunday? That's wonderful. It's all organic produce. We also have something up in Hollywood, Florida, and Hollandale, Florida. So that's up a bit north of us.
Yep.
There's something even at Bayside in Nobre, like we were just talking about.
Well, Nobre is where the J.W. Marriott is.
Yes.
And you coined that term.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise called North of Brickell.
Yes.
Okay.
We needed to have one. We need to have one of those little names like Soho and Nolita.
And NoHo and NoLo.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
How about NoGo?
Yeah, so there's so much stuff going on there. It's not just that. Go back to what we were talking about downtown before. It really isn't just a business district anymore. So it's really an interesting part of the city worth going to.
All right. If you and I had never met, mm-hmm. and I was coming down to Miami and said, come on, be my guest, where would be the very first place you'd take me?
For a dinner?
For anything. To experience Miami.
If you've never been here.
Yeah.
I would probably take you to... God, that's so hard to ask me something like that. I would take you to Las Olas Cafe, which is where we'd get the best Cuban coffee in the world. Because, see, what I don't understand is how Starbucks is still so popular. I mean, if anyone has ever had a sip of café con leche prepared the right way... At Las Olas, or, you know, so many places. There are a dime a dozen here, but my favorite is Las Olas Cafe, right on 5th Street and Euclid in Miami Beach. I mean, it's just like a jolt of energy. You feel like a different person. Starbucks is so bitter and watery. I just don't get it.
And not to mention the inexpensive prices.
Oh, this is like a dollar.
Okay.
This is a dollar, and you tip 30 cents on this little thing.
And you're in.
I mean, it's just maddening to me. There's a right off Lincoln Road, David's Cafe, the best Cuban cafe by Lincoln Road's area, across the street from a Starbucks. I'm thinking, who would go to Starbucks when there's David's Cafe right across the street?
I gotcha.
So, yeah, that's what I would take you to do first.
But what if I don't drink coffee?
You would, though. Oh. I didn't drink coffee for years. You would. That's the point.
And if Susie Buckley tells you to do it, you do it, because she's the editor-in-chief of Ocean Drive Magazine. That music means we are out of time for the show, folks. Had a great time here in Miami. Lots of folks to thank. Of course, all the folks at the JW Marriott, Ralph Chambers, and all the guys here at SBS Broadcasting. Thank you for letting us use your studios. John Calabro handling the boards in New York. Jessica Silverman, our field producer here in Miami. And, of course, Shelley Gontrowski out there in Seattle. We will see you next week, ladies and gentlemen, from another remote, distant location. And remember, my team, the University of Wisconsin Badgers, are going to the Rose Bowl. And I will be there no matter what. See you guys next week. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com.